Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
And we're all spending a lot more time at home, and for a lot of parents that means more time to worry about something happening with their children that requires first aid. Parent First Aid is Ireland's leading provider of first aid training for parents and childminders. It was founded by Peter Finnegan after his own son Robbie, who was 2 years of age at the time, had a choking incident back in 2014. Parent providing basic and essential life-saving skills.
No, I'll pick it up. Okay. Parent First Aid run classes online and in venues across Ireland, and they provide basic and essential life-saving skills. And this morning we're joined by one of the Parent First Aid instructors, Dave Turner, who's going to share some important tips and advice with us. Dave, how are you?
Not too bad. Thanks, guys, for having us on.
Yeah, Dave, sorry about that. My daughter had me up in the middle of the night last night, and I appeared to be unable to read due to lack of sleep. So maybe you can help me with that as well.
Well, let's talk about...
Baby brain.
Yeah, baby brain, definitely.
Let's talk about the kind of the big fears that most parents have around, a situation that requires first aid. What are the ones that come up time and time again?
The most common topics that a lot of parents are concerned about, especially around the house, and as we all know during the last trying times, would be choking and concussion are probably the main two topics that we seem to be more inundated with requests about. Like, obviously, cuts and fractures, things like that are covered, but it is the choking and the concussion, which, again, understandably so. So, look, what I can do is, if you want, I can talk about choking in a toddler, and then so we can take it from there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, it is obviously particularly toddlers, when they're obviously learning to eat and chew for the first time, there's a propensity for something terrifying to happen and a piece of sausage to get trapped in the throat or something like that. So, yeah, what do you do in that situation?
Well, look, you said to yourself there that, you know, they're learning. Babies are trying to learn how to eat, how to swallow, all this sort of thing. Now, we all have a natural gag reflex. So basically what's called a partial choke is when there is something catches and there's coughing, there's spluttering, there's loads of noise, things like that. The good thing about that is, if there's loads of noise, there's also loads of air. So there's oxygen going in, which is a good thing. You know, and tell that to a new parent, by the way, that's a good thing.
Right.
But technically, if there's loads of noise, there's loads of air. So really what we want to do is encourage them to keep coughing, you know, just because it is the most effective way of clearing the airway. Our natural reaction would be to go in and get it. So put our fingers in to try and clear the airway, clear the field. The risk with that is, if we go in, we can push the blockage down further.
Okay.
You know, so basically what we want to do, especially if it was, say, a newborn, a toddler, we pick them up, we put them at what they consider a 45-degree angle, or look, bum higher than shoulders, and then we just let the baby cough it up themselves. They will just cough and cough and cough, and it'll either come out through the mouth or back into the belly.
So that's a natural
instinct. If after a couple of minutes,
Sorry, Dave, saying that's a natural instinct that the child just has, that when something is caught, it will just cough. So if you help it by putting it into that, as you said, bum above shoulders, 45-degree angle, it will just assist them to either cough it or swallow it.
Absolutely. It's a natural, it's an evolutionary act, if you want to call it. Everybody does it. We all cough if something goes down the wrong way. That's effectively what it is. We cough it up. It's just sometimes babies need an extra little bit of help. They need a little bit of help with gravity. That's why we turn them and flip them upside down a little bit. So, as I said, just supporting the head, making sure you're supporting the head, and let them cough it up. Now, after a couple of seconds or whatever it is, if they're not clearing it, you can give 5 little back blows between the shoulder blades just to encourage the blockage to come out.
Now, how hard are you talking about when you say a back blow? Because I think that's the one thing the parents might be worried about is, yes, I want my child to not choke, but I also don't want to, you know, I don't know the difference between, helping them to cough something up and maybe causing some damage.
Yeah. Look, it's a hard one to quantify, because it's very hard for me to quantify power. You hit fairly hard, but again, you have to take into account your level of strength and the size of the child that you are looking after. Like if this was, say, a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, a bit bulky, you might need to hit that little bit harder. Whereas if it's a newborn, you will hit that a little bit softer. But you have to think it has to be hard enough to encourage or to move the blockage that's in there.
Okay, so that's the partial choking you spoke about. What is the other one that you mentioned?
Unfortunately, there's a scary one, which is called a full choke. And that's when basically the blockage is fully blocking the airway. So there is no noise, there's no coughing. The child could look like they're trying to cough, but there's no noise coming out. And that's called, it can be called a silent cough. So what we do then is we start again with the back slaps. The back slaps are we always start 5 back slaps between the shoulder blades, upward motion. If that doesn't seem to work, now this is in relation to, say, newborns up to 1 year of age, we would turn the baby over onto their back, 2 fingers between the nipple line or between the armpits, and then do 5 chest thrusts. So we push down about 1/3 the depth of the child 5 times. If that doesn't work, we go back to the back slaps and we repeat and repeat the back slaps and chest thrusts.
Okay.
But at this stage, we would have called an ambulance or got somebody to call an ambulance. Because even if it comes out even after 1 back slap, even after 1 chest thrust, you do need medical aid at the end. You do need to get the baby or the child checked.
Yeah, that's interesting that, of course, like you could dislodge whatever was causing the full choke or the partial choke. But as you said, yeah, I mean, you're giving back slaps, you're giving chest compressions. There could be other issues afterwards that you need to get checked out.
That's it. And some of them issues could take 3, 4, 5 days to show up. You know, but our initial thing is, oh, thank God the blockage is out, everything's fine. But you do need to, as you said yourself, it is a small baby. You are cracking them with the heel of your hand in a decent manner. You will need to get them checked. Look, and 99% of the time it's fine. It's minor damage. It's a little bit of damage. But it's better to be safe than sorry. This is about peace of mind at the end of the day.
It's Dermot and Dave on Today FM. We're chatting to Dave Turner from Parent First Aid. And I just want to say we are recording the Zoom call with Dave and he's doing some demos there for us. So we'll make those available after the conversation as well on todayfm.com. What about concussion on this one, Dave? That's one that we're never quite sure whether we're overreacting or maybe we're taking the right steps we should be when someone bangs their head.
Well, look, the first thing I'll say is with any parent, you know, it's your baby. You know your baby better than any person on the planet. There's no such thing as overreacting in that sense. If you think you need help, you call and get help. Whether it turns out everything's fine or it turns out something's wrong, that's what you do. So I just go away from, you know, the point of that we say, oh, I'm overreacting. If you need help, call. In relation to concussion or a bang on the head, they're pretty simple. Most head injuries in children are not usually in need of medical attention. Like if a child bangs their head and they have, say, a mild headache, mild dizziness, there could be bruising on the scalp or a little bit of tenderness, nausea. They're usually signs of just mild concussion and you don't need medical attention. What we would recommend is monitoring them up to 48 hours, just in case it does get worse. You can give them an ice pack or pack of peas from the fridge, wrap it in a light towel, put it on the head. Painkillers, children's painkillers, paracetamol, whatever it is, for the headache. But that's for mild symptoms. And most of the time, mild symptoms will just ease off after a day or two.
Mm.
But the serious ones, the ones that you're talking about there, the ones that we worry about and then we call it 999 or 112, is unconsciousness. Even for a split second. If the child is struggling to stay awake, if the child has a seizure, if there's slurred speech, any sort of symptoms or signs along them lines, we're calling 999, 112, and we're getting medical attention. But the other thing, and just for peace of mind, every child, every healthy child are going to bang their head or bop their head. It's a normal act for most children. And 99% of the time, they're fine. It's just if your child acts differently out of their norms, then you're going to get some sort of advice.
Yeah, that seems to be the thing I've picked up having had 4 of them at this point, is as soon as they develop anything that isn't like them, like their personality, whether they're listless or they don't want food, because my ones always want food, or, you know, or as you said, a little bit of lack of consciousness, then you just, that's when you know things are serious.
Absolutely. You know, and that is the thing. You would look at the generic rules for first aid, and then put 10 kids in a room and 9 of them will make a complete liar out of the first aid rules.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know your child. And if your child acts differently or something your child is doing worries you, well, then just get it checked. Peace of mind.
I did a first aid course a while back. I think my daughters were very young, so maybe about 5 years ago. And I remember at the time kind of walking away feeling quite confident about what I would or wouldn't do if I was faced with, say, a choking episode or whatever. But is it the kind of thing you think that people should renew? If they've done it before, they should do it again?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, look, we all know in occupational first aid within our workplace, you have to do first aid every 2 years. It's just at home, we don't think along the same lines. But a lot of our first aid skills we use will be in the home, will be with our children or around the house and things like that. So it is something I would recommend parents do at least every 2 years, maybe more if I had my way. But it's really just, you can practice, you know, and I say this to all the parents, you know, if you have a first aid kit, and if you don't have a first aid kit, by the way, you can go on to parentfirstaid.ie and buy them at a very reasonable rate, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. And what you can do is practice, you know, show the child how to put on plasters, how to put on bandages. And it's a little bit of practice for you and normalizes it for the child and also then gives them the skills to be able to look after themselves as well.
Right.
We're conscious of just, we're running out of time on the chat, but breaks versus sprains and cuts. Can you offer any words of wisdom on those before we let you go?
Yeah, look, really quickly, the thing with say, fractures or breaks, the really, like, pain, swelling are one of the main signs of fractures and breaks, and also deformity of the bone. But also a strain or a sprain is going to have pain and swelling as well. So if there's, if the child falls and there's like a snapping sound or a crunching sound, if there's a deformity of the bone or the run of the bone is slightly off, they're signs that you could need 999-112 and you need to get an x-ray. If the child does fall and you get that sort of snap or crack, let the child hold the limb in whatever's the most comfortable position for them. Remove any clothes if possible, without causing any harm. Ice pack or a pack of peas are fantastic for putting on just for a little bit of pain relief. And then obviously off to A&E. The wiggle the fingers, the wiggle the toes tells you nothing. That doesn't mean it's broken or you know, that's our sports mindset. If you can still put pressure on a shirt, get back out and finish the match, you're fine. It doesn't work that way. And look, cuts and wounds or cuts and bleeds, very simple. You have your antiseptic wipes within your first aid kit, but look, tap water is fantastic. If there's a wound, put it under the tap, wash out any grit or any dirt or anything that could be in it. Check the wound if there's no object stuck in it. If there's no object stuck in it, put a plaster on it, put a bandage on it. If it's a heavy bleed, we just put pressure on the wound, elevate the wound. And again, if it's heavy bleed, we're off to A&E or we're ringing 999 or 112.
Brilliant. Dave Turner from Parent First Aid. And you said parentfirstaid.ie is the website that you can go to if you want to look up the courses or get the first aid kits or whatever. Dave, thanks for joining us this morning. Very valuable information.
Thanks very much, guys.
Cheers. All the best.
See you, Dave.
Dermot and Dave. Listen live on air from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.